Well, it's good to be back. I had a great trip down to see our seminarians down in Denver. They send their prayers and their greetings, but it's nice. I missed you guys, so it's good to be back. The year was 1999. A very young Mark Lenneman, not even seminarian Mark Lenneman, not Father Mark Lenneman, a recent graduate of Gonzaga University, Mark Lenneman teaching and coaching high school basketball at Billings Central High, is on the scene. More hair, less gray. I'm a rookie teacher, and I get stuck doing the yearbook dance, right? That's what they do to rookie teachers. They're like, yeah, put them on dance duty. So it's the yearbook dance. It's at the end of the year. It's like May, and there's two teachers involved, the yearbook teacher who has to be there, and then me who gets drafted, right, because I'm a rookie. So I'm there, everything's fine. It happens to be May, it's the NBA playoffs, right? And it's Utah Jazz, Sacramento King, back in the day when the first round was best of five. It's game five, and I'm like, I wanna support my boy John Stockton. By the way, I talked to someone just last week who did not know who John Stockton was, someone here at Carroll, and I'm like, Lord, anytime you wanna take me, I'm ready. John Stockton, he's one of the best, he's great. Top 50 NBA players ever, one of the greatest point guards in the history of the game, leader in assists and steals. You knew that, right, Molly? Yeah, good, okay, perfect. So I sneak away from the dance. The dance is going fine, right? It's Britney Spears and NSYNC and all that stuff. Kids are jamming, right? And I sneak away, and here I am watching the game, and it's a good game, game five. It ended up being a one-point Jazz victory. Right, so I'm gone for probably 10, maybe 15 minutes, right? I come back, the dance that was going fine has gone seriously south. So I'm a religion teacher at the high school, right? And let's just say the students were no longer leaving room for the Holy Spirit as they were dancing. So I am like, what the heck? And I go, you know what I felt like? I felt like Moses when he came down the mountain and the Israelites are reveling and worshiping the false idol, the golden calf. So I'm in there, I charge in there, and it's my students, my religion kids who are in the center of this grind fest. So I am physically separating students, like pulling them off of each other, right? And then I'm not gonna say her name in case she ever listens to this homily. She sees me and clearly misinterprets my intentions because she's like, ooh, Mr. Lenneman. I'm like, what are you doing? So, yeah, we had good talks the next day, on Monday, I should say, at school about that. Here's what I should have done. Instead of charging in there, I should have just walked calmly over to the wall. We were in the cafeteria. Catholic school, and I should have just turned the lights on. Problem solved, right? Light. It's interesting, it's all over the gospel tonight. We have a strange relationship with light, don't we? It's a strange, kind of complicated relationship because we love the light and we hate it. The light dispels certain fears and it brings forth other fears. So what do I mean? Well, think back to when you're a little kid, right? The dark shape in the corner of your room that might be a monster and probably is a monster. When your mom comes in and turns the light on, it's just a blanket that you threw off your bed, right? It's the light, and the light dispels the fear. See, light helps us see reality, and that's a good thing. Because once we see what's really there, oftentimes there's nothing to be afraid of. But the light helps us see reality. And reality is sometimes scary, sometimes hard, sometimes difficult to handle and uncomfortable to deal with. One time, I saw the light shine into the septic tank at Legendary Lodge. Scarred for life. Right? It's going to take the second coming to heal that wound in my heart. Okay? But see, So it's complicated, right? We use words like enlightening or illuminating to demonstrate the positive aspects of life, or of light, I should say. But then there's this other part that really fears the light. Like, we fear the light almost as much as we fear the darkness. So think about it this way. What if your most embarrassing secret was brought into the light so that everyone could see it and would know about it? What about your worst sin? Sweaty palms, right? I don't want anyone to see that. I don't want that to come into the light. So it's not so simple, huh? We can't just say, oh, we like the light, because sometimes we don't like the light. You know, I do my holy hour right in that space, and the last 2 days, in these beautiful sunny days, spring days, I've been watching and contemplating the light as it shines on this altar. And it demonstrates this reality, right? There's so much that I normally overlook when the sunlight comes through that window and shines right on the stone. It's so amazingly beautiful. There are so many colors in this rock, you might just think, oh, it's gray. It's not gray. There are so many colors, and there's so much white in this stone. And when the sunlight shines upon it, it just pops. And that's the good. But also, when the sunlight shines on the altar, I was like, gosh, I gotta do some work, because there's a lot of dirt on the steel beams that I need to clean. And you're like looking at it, and you're like, no, it looks fine. Yeah, it looks fine, because it's in the dark for you. It's in the shadow. But when the light shines on it, it's clear that I need to do some cleaning. That's the way it is when the light of God's love shines on us. Just like that. When his love shines on us, there's so much splendor that it reveals. When his love shines on you, your absolute uniqueness. You know, no one has ever been like you. There never has been someone like you. There never will be someone like you. You are utterly unique. God loves you in an utterly unique way. It's personal to you. All your talents, all your gifts, all your hopes. And you're meant to shine and radiate that light. And his love and his light shines on you, causing that brilliance. And it also exposes things that need to be fixed. The light shines, and then you can see the blemishes. What's wrong? Our sins, our failings. Right? At the beginning of John's gospel, in the first chapter, we have this line. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Isn't that a great line? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It's so consoling. It's so hopeful. The light shines, and the darkness is conquered. Good. We love the light. And then from tonight's gospel, John 3, we get this. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light so that his works might not be exposed. Think of all the sins. Think how many happen in the darkness. Think how many sins wouldn't happen if the lights were turned on. See, that fear of being exposed, right? That's the reason, by the way, that we don't go to confession as much as we need to. Because we think, oh no, I couldn't have that exposed. That would be really, really dangerous, right? We prefer darkness to light so that what is wrong in us might not be exposed. But that's a giant contradiction, my friends. It's a giant contradiction because rather than being held in contempt or in shame when we bring our sins into the light of the Lord's mercy, which means going to confession, as soon as sin is exposed there, freedom comes. Because the light that shines in the confessional is the mercy of God. which is his love. And that love heals us and frees us. When I was in seminary, the battle cry was this: bring it into the light. That should be our battle cry in Lent. Bring it into the light. Now, whatever it is, it probably causes you, if you actually did that, if you brought it into the light of the Lord's love, which might mean and probably does mean going to confession, if you bring it into the light, you're like, if that probably makes your heart skip a beat maybe a little bit, makes your palms a little sweaty, right? Because this light might not alleviate the fear. Ooh, what happens if I'm exposed? We're afraid. We're afraid that maybe we won't be accepted. If God really knew what I struggled with, if God really knew what I was like. But newsflash, he does really know. He knows. He knows all the faults and the failings in my heart. He knows all the faults and the failings in your heart. All your sins, all my sins, he knows. And he accepts us. From tonight's gospel, the famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And then, verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Bring it into the light. Don't be afraid to bring it into the light. Because, my friends, the light that I'm talking about isn't just something that exposes reality. It's someone. John 8. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. And when we follow him, we won't walk in darkness or in fear. We won't be enslaved to our sins. We won't be defined by them, but rather we will walk in the light, and we will have the light of life. The light he shines is not a harsh light. It doesn't just expose our faults. It's a healing light. It's the light of his mercy, the light of his love. And it is the light of life. So when you bring it into the light, you bring it right to Jesus. And then his life begins to shine in you. And you become fully alive.